Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network, New World Report, with Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal of the Colombia Legislature. She's in Bogota. And Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. Cuba, the Castro brothers are gone. Long live the Castro brothers, sort of. There is a new article in London featuring the new regime in Cuba. This is not gaining a great deal of attention given the worldwide pandemic, but it's certainly profound about what happens next in the Caribbean. Cuba is a very powerful military and cultural presence in the Caribbean, especially because it's networked with Caracas, and through Caracas with Moscow, and through Moscow with Tehran. Cuba has taken part in some of the critical discussions of these last years to do with Colombia. It was the site of the so-called peace talks about FARC versus the Colombia government. But right now, the question is, who is the new president? When Raul Castro retires, he turns the presidency over to Miguel Diaz-Canel. Joseph, what can you tell me about the new president of Cuba?
John, this is a case of meet the new boss, same as the old boss. I mean, he comes from a tradition in Cuba that's at this point institutional, and I'm talking about a communist tradition. We had these conversations back in 2006 when Fidel Castro turned over the government and the Communist Party to his brother Raul Castro. And Raul, some people said at the time, is more pragmatic. He's more open to market reforms. And granted, he did a few things to create a little bit more cash flow in the country. But that cash flow goes to the regime. It goes to the military. It goes to the dictatorship. And he didn't free at all the political or civil society repression that's going on in the country. Then you had the same conversation 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, in 2018, when Raul Castro then turns over to Miguel Díaz-Canel. But the slogan of Miguel Díaz-Canel and the Communist Party in Cuba is unity and continuity. So it's basically the same thing. It's the same thing with a little bit of caveats. I was actually speaking with a Cuban opposition member recently, and they told me something I thought was very telling of how this transformation is happening in Cuba, but really with the same kind of core communist intentions. And he mentioned that Cuba's evolved into a sort of Russian regime just without the oil oligarchs. So they're privatizing some things, they're opening other things, but at the end of the day, it's just a great more cash flow for the dictatorship because the repression continues. Just this past January, there was hundreds of journalists and artists that were part of a free speech protest, part of a new kind of cultural opposition revival resistance movement in Cuba that was jailed and incarcerated unjustly, which has been going on for decades on the island.
Maria, the Cuban regime right now, according to the London reporting, is said to be struggling with huge inflation, currency manipulation, a lack of resources, and Venezuela is no longer generous the way it once was under Chavez. Does Cuba's fate, Havana's fate, the regime's fate, does that influence the conduct of the continent, of Bogota, of Caracas? Or is Cuba an outlier, a marginal presence in South America?
No, Cuba has been, for my point of view, one of our worst enemies expanding the communism, expanding every way they could do to distort democracies in America, in Latin America. And today they don't play any other role than being, that built a myth among all their hypnotized followers, a myth of the revolution who led them to be free from the U.S. empire. All these lies are still on the cultural agenda, Marxist cultural agenda. However, they have lost many of its power because Venezuela is no longer helping them to survive. So that's why they need desperately to start opening their economy. The problem is that this new president, it's exactly the same as the very old dinosaurs from the Communist Party. It's very hard to understand how is he going to make the changes. But if you read the numbers, a devaluation of 500%, it's crazy. How can they build an economy working against free market, working against individual, working against innovation, the capability of each individual to create its own richness? How could be there? How could they build arguments against common sense? Well, that's what they have been doing since very long time ago, and they keep in power because of fear, of the fear that the people live there. I think that the young people are connected. The young people want to be free, and sooner or later, things should change, or the people, the young people will be leaving from Cuba, finding a better way of living.
Joseph, Maria mentions the young people. That's the same story you can hear from Russia itself. The young people are frustrated by the stagnation. In Cuba's case, it's worse than stagnation. It's decline, population decline, inflation, a lack of resources, brownouts. However, heretofore, we've known, Joseph, that's not enough to dislodge a regime that lives with a state security system that's absolute. So your measure of Cuba today, is it strong? Is it very strong in the region as a military presence? How is it perceived?
Well, the Cuban regime has its lifeblood in its intelligence networks, and that's what gives them their strength and their power. They use intelligence as a commodity, and they sell that to foreign adversaries of the United States, such as Russia, Iran, China. And it creates them as a very valuable asset for these external actors in Latin America. The Cubans perhaps have some of the best human intelligence networks in the region, even bigger than much bigger countries such as the U.S. and others. But that allows them to then use that additional support, external support, to be able to harden the regime on the island and to create a regime that's essentially irremovable. There is an uprising happening right now in Havana by artists and activists, as I was mentioning, a sort of cultural resistance movement. But they have the technological means, but they don't have the foreign backing or the international support to really be able to topple the dictatorship in their country. And what the regime, the Cuban regime, does oftentimes is it offers them a little bit of openness. It says, hey, we're open to talk, we're open to give some kind of dialogue, and then it just cracks down again. And this has been the story time and time again, because they do enough just to be able to get a little bit of sympathy from the international community. But in reality, they have no interest in opening their country, because they know that if they were to open their country, it would be the end of the communist regime in Cuba itself.
Maria, quite importantly, the Obama administration made overtures, and even the president of the United States visited Havana towards the end of his second term. We do not know the plans of the Biden administration. What would that mean for the whole region if Mr. Biden were to make overtures to Havana, to the new president of Havana, similar to how Mr. Obama made overtures to Mr. Castro, Raul Castro? Would that change the nature of the conflict? Would it strengthen Caracas, or would it be a minor story?
everything that you do to help a communist will be against you. It's like, I don't remember exactly in English how Winston Churchill expressed, but it's like dealing with a crocodile.
Right.
So anything that Mr. Biden wrongly assessed by his advisors to help Cuba will be an advantage that Cuba take over you and over all of us.
Yes, it's Feed the Crocodile and is the story. I'm sure it's wonderful in Spanish as well. It's always wonderful in English. Joseph, Cuba, is that on the horizon for the Biden administration? I have not seen anything, but the logic is that much of Mr. Biden's administration is veterans of the Obama administration. Do we know if the overture to Havana is going to begin again?
That's right, John. I haven't heard anything specific, but if we were to take past precedent as action for future action, a lot of Biden's current policies are extension of Obama's previous policies, and Cuba was one of its most important foreign policies. I'm pretty sure that what's going on right now, the turnover from Raul Castro to Miguel Diaz-Canel, is going to be trying to be spun in some way to talk about an opening once again with Cuba, but they can't ignore the failure of the past. Even though we rekindled diplomatic relations with Cuba, the repression against their civil society and their citizens did not stop. And that is something that can be undisputed.
And about Cuba's state security, I have been told over these years that it is integral to the success of the stability of the Maduro regime, that it's the Cuban intelligence that monitors the Venezuela army. It's the Cuban intelligence that holds together the various players who are all gang leaders. Is that still accurate, Joseph, or have the Russians supplanted the Cubans?
No, they work together, the Russians and the Cubans in Venezuela, but the Cubans, I'd say, have a bigger presence, specifically with the military intelligence. There's a unit inside the Venezuelan Armed Forces called the DEGESIN, which is their military counterintelligence, and it's one of the strongest intelligence units in Venezuela. And that is 100% Cuban-run, Cuban-controlled. And they have taught the Venezuelans very repressive tactics on how to pressure their dissidents and how to also control their population. This is something that the Cubans learned from the Stasi in Germany and also learned from the communists and from Russia, from the Soviets back in the day.
I'm speaking with Joseph Umar, the Secure Free Society Executive Director in Washington, and Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal of the Colombia Legislature. She's in Bogota. Going to turn to the virus next, the vaccine nationalism, vaccine favoritism, not only in Europe, not only in India, but also in South America for footballers. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.